Welcome to the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast. My name is Paul. I'll be your host. Today is the beginning of season two of our podcast, and we are turning from interviews to conversations. So over the next three episodes, you will hear a conversation between Pastor Darren Latham, Pastor Simon Gow, and myself as we talk about ministry, and we kind of focus and hone in on Pastor Darren's call to ministry and some of the things that he's been through in his years of ministry. So if you've ever wanted to get to know Pastor Darren a little bit better, this is going to be a great opportunity to do that. So let's jump in to our first session with Pastor Darren and Pastor Simon Gow as we have a conversation about ministry and leadership. Well, here we are at the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast in sort of a different setting this time. We've, in the past, done very interview-based type of things and had Pastor Darren and Pastor Mick, some other guests in, Pastor Simon, and done very interview-based interactions. And today, we're going forward, we're going to try something a little bit more conversation-based. So there's not just two of us in a room with Grant, our audio producer, but we've added a third here. And so Pastor Simon Gow is with us. Say hello.
Hello. Hi. It's so good to be here.
and Pastor Darren Latham is with us. Say hello.
It's great to be here again.
Today is going to be a great conversation about pastoral ministry and leadership. And I'm excited to have my friends here to talk about what we're going to talk about. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your path to pastoral ministry and the years that have kind of led you to where you are now. And you know, you have a family and wife and grandkids, and you've been a part of churches in Ontario and in BC. And I think that's it. I don't think you've been in any of the provinces.
Yeah, back and forth.
Back and forth. And so why don't you tell us a little about that journey of ministry?
Sure. So as I look back on my life, I was raised essentially in a Christian home, but without Christ. Meaning we had a moral home, but we would attend church now and then. And for seasons, we would go to church, particularly when I was younger. And then we would get away from it for large chunks of time. We were a big hockey family. Mm-hmm. My older brother, you know, was a very good hockey player and junior B, junior A. And so we followed hockey. And so we were away at tournaments and so on. So we just didn't go to church. But when I turned 19, I had a real turning in my life. That's when I became a Christ follower. And it all actually all stemmed back to when I was a little boy, about 10, 11 years old, when we were in one of those seasons of attending church. We went to this little Baptist church of 50 people, 50, in Stratford, Ontario. And I had a Sunday school teacher named Jean Barkley. Jean was from Australia. She never married. She considered herself a missionary to Canada. And she taught in this tiny little Baptist church, and she taught the Sunday school class of about 4 people. And I would go, and I'd be bored out of my skull as a little kid. But she tried to make it interesting. And the one thing I remembered her saying as a little boy was, if you're ever in trouble and you need God to speak to you, just open the Bible, start to read, and he'll talk to you. Wow. Now, I would never give that advice to anybody today necessarily. But as a little kid, I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. And I tucked it away.
Yeah, wow.
Well, about 7, 8, 9 years later, I was a 19-year-old young guy. I was in a bit of a crisis in my life, sort of an existential crisis. I didn't know who I was, where I was going, what's life all about. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I was suicidal, but I had thoughts about being suicidal. Mm-hmm. And just my life felt empty. Nobody knew, but my life felt empty. And I found myself at this weekend with a bunch of Christians in downtown Toronto. And I came back from this and I started to think and ponder. I felt stirred in my life, like something's going on. Mm. So I grabbed a Bible that I found in the house. And I still have that Bible to this day. And I said, okay, God, if you exist, I'm asking you to speak to me. And I opened it up to Jeremiah chapter 1. It was the call of Jeremiah. And the Lord said unto Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah says, Lord, I don't know how to speak. I'm just a youth. Mm-hmm. His Revised Standard Version was the version I was reading at that time. It said, I'm just a youth. And God says, don't say I'm just a youth. I appoint you today. I put my words in your mouth. And I point you to uproot, to tear down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build, and to plant. Well, I closed that Bible up, and I just felt, God wants me to be a minister. That's the exact term.
Yes. Mm.
Minister was the word, because I was going to a sort of a very progressive liberal Baptist church at the time, and we used the word minister. Yeah. And so God wants me to be a minister. So I walk out into my family room where my parents are, and my dad is there smoking his cigarettes, watching TV, and my mom was doing something, watching with them. And I said, Mom and Dad, I think God wants me to be a minister. And they kind of both looked at me, and they said, oh, okay, well, that's good. I find out later, I, as a baby, was dedicated in a four-square church.
Oh, really?
Okay. And they never told me. I never knew. My parents were backslidden Christians, and I had no idea. Hmm. And so from that, where it gets kind of cool is, then we start going back to this Baptist church, because our family was in crisis for reasons I won't get into. So we start going back into this to this Baptist church again, where we had been years before. And the pastor is a young guy. He's trying to stir this church up, get it revived again. So he starts this little mini youth group of a couple kids, and I went once. And he finds out that I feel I'm going to be a pastor, so he fans the flame in me. He says, well, Darren, why don't you come and preach a sermon with me? I'm 19. Mm-hmm. I'm still not really a Christ follower. I am and I'm not. I'm still have my old girlfriend, and I'm still doing things that I shouldn't be doing. Mm-hmm. And I have no discipleship, no concept at all, but I just, God wants me to be a minister, whatever that means. So I'm up there preaching this first sermon. And who is out in the auditorium, in the sanctuary, but Jean Barclay.
Hmm.
Now, she had left years before, gone back to Australia. Suddenly, she's back. And she's in the crowd, and she comes up to me afterwards, and she said, God told me I'm supposed to teach you the Bible.
Hmm.
And I said, well, I guess I got to learn the Bible if I'm going to be a minister.
So at that point, you understood, when you looked out and saw her, like this significance of the fact that here's this lady who inputted something really significant in my life as a young child, and here she is when I'm here preaching this. This isn't a coincidence.
Actually, that didn't occur to me till later. Oh, okay. In all sincerity, I thought, oh, well, you're back. Now, I didn't even really know she was gone, because I wasn't really back myself. Right. You know? In all sincerity, this is when I look back at this season of my life, it was weird. God was sovereignly moving in my life, but I had no concept of, oh, this is God is doing something. No, it was just, oh, okay, I guess I got to study the Bible with you. And so she would meet me in the public library by my high school every Wednesday, and she would make me memorize scripture. And she's the one who introduced me to the Pentecostal church and the whole concept of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It was through Jean Barclay. And she had me reading books, and she started to push me in that whole direction. And she discipled me. She mentored me in my life.
Wow.
Early on.
I think it's amazing to hear that it was these crisis moments. You mentioned that a couple times, these crisis moments in your life, in your family's life, that even led you back to the church, or even opened your heart in such a way to receive, you know, a word from God or new direction. Or oftentimes we think of crisis moments today like, God, you've abandoned me. Like, where are you? Like, why is this happening to me? And your story shows that within the crisis moment is when God is actually trying to mold you and shape you and lead you.
That's absolutely right. They are opportunities, right, you know, for God to speak. And I was just reading today in my Steps journal about, you know, this parable of the sowers. And, you know, it says the one with the noble and good and noble heart is the one who listens. And Jesus said, so be careful how you listen. And I thought to myself, yeah, I think God sees our hearts, sees that we're open. Mm. And he puts us in the position then, whatever it takes, he puts us in a position to be able to hear, to be able to receive. So there's that tension of deep down, God knew I was hungry and open. Mm-hmm. And so, but he also knew it would take a crisis to break that shell of the veneer around that heart that deep down was open. So yeah, absolutely. He used crises in our lives.
I think of all of these little steps and the people that spoke into your life and the situations that had to happen to bring you to the point that you are today. And you, today we know you as your Pastor Darren, leading this big church and ministering to thousands of people across the world. And you're doing all these incredible things for the Lord, and we could look back and one of these situations didn't take place, you might not be in the place you are today. So these small moments that may seem insignificant in the long, big picture were actually very significant, moving you along to where you are today.
Yeah, and I think that was the Apostle Paul's whole concept in Corinthians, where he talks about, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And I boast about my weaknesses now, because it's those moments, the thorn in the flesh moments, that God breaks through and speaks to our lives.
But there is this prevailing, or not prevailing, but there is this thought in Christianity that to live without struggle is to live the blessed life, or is to live the more godly or the more preferred in the eyes of the Lord life. Mm-hmm. How do we as churches not wish poorly on people, but at the same time not try and run the other way every time that there is any sort of trouble and strife that goes on in our life, knowing that God can use it and will use it and wants to use it for good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always lean now in my life and even ministry towards the trust aspect, where I say, okay, God, I don't understand everything that's happening. I'm seeking to follow you, and in the midst of circumstances that I don't understand, that are beyond my control, and that aren't necessarily directly attributable or directly due or linked to some sin in my life, when sickness or trials like that come into my life, I just say, I trust you, and I believe you're sovereignly going to use this somehow. Mm-hmm. And so just help me to be wise how to respond to it.
Sure.
I'm really taken back with the pastor in your story that invited you to preach alongside
how
him.
How desperate must he have been? Think of that.
Before you really had gotten your life together.
Oh, yeah.
So he saw the sincerity of your heart. Yeah. He saw maybe a giftedness in your talents.
Yeah.
Even though you didn't have your lifestyle maybe all the way there.
But you need to, this is even speaks to the context. We think evangelical church where you have to have a level of godliness. Mm-hmm. No.
Right.
That was not this church. The only sermon I ever remember from that church was a guy coming and speaking on the multiplying of the loaves and the fishes and saying, well, do you think Jesus really did that? Of course he didn't. You know, what happened was people were all hiding their meals, and then when they saw the little boy bring his food out, they said, oh, we should share too. So which is the greater miracle, turning loaves and fishes into, you know, multiplying loaves and fishes, or changing people's hearts?
Loaves and fishes. Loaves. Yeah.
So, but that was the context of that congregation. Yeah. Now, I thank God for it, because it no longer exists, by the way. It's now shut down. Mm-hmm. But that was, you know, it had a role in my life, and I thank God for that individual.
Right.
But the, you know, it wasn't this evangelical kind of discipleship model place. Yeah. Not at all.
I'm encouraged as a pastor today to not wait around till everyone is perfect before I'm starting to delegate responsibility, or to call gifts out in people, or give people opportunity to, you know, quote unquote minister, and to really believe in people and to give people a chance. One of the phrases we use is that people can belong before they behave, and to really create an opportunity and create a space for people to really belong to the church. And not everyone's on the same level or at the same place in their journey. Yeah. But God can still use
everyone. And I would like to throw this out as well, that if someone's listening and they come from a Baptist background or something, like I'm not painting a very wide brush here. This is just, there are Pentecostal churches. Yeah. I'm sure that where the same type of thing could happen. So please, you know, send your letters to Paul Moore.
Paul M@BroadwayChurch.com. As you go through your journey, like you went to Bible school, you trained for ministry, and then you were released in ministry. As you talk about this pastor who gave you an opportunity to preach, you also have had other mentors in your life, and I know that you've referred many times to a pastor named Bob Argue, who had, from your description, I'd never met him, but a great large personality, loved by his people, strong in the word. Why don't you take us from 19, preaching that sermon in the Gene Barclay discipleship school you were in, to being mentored by a person that many people really respect.
Yeah, so like a handoff kind of took place in my life. Gene Barclay then handed me off to Baptist Leadership Training School in Calgary.
Okay.
And then from there, just before I went to Baptist Leadership Training School, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Mm. And so I went to this BLTS, it was called. And just before I arrived there, I had this experience mm-hmm. of being infilled with the Spirit, a brand new Christ follower. I've been a Christian for a couple months. Mm-hmm. And so I had this experience with no knowledge, but a big attitude and a sense of calling. And a level of giftedness or charisma, maybe just personal. Mm-hmm. So I was elected the Students' Council President of BLTS, mm-hmm. A Pentecostal, a bunch of Baptists. Mm-hmm. And as the year went on, they realized, ooh, that was a mistake. And but while I was there, I applied to Eastern Pentecostal Bible College, now mm-hmm. a Master's College and Seminary yeah. in Peterborough. And so then I went there for 3 years and graduated and went to this church in Toronto with Robert Argue. Mm-hmm. Now, so I've been a Christian for 4 years, and I'm a pastor now.
Wow.
And in a Pentecostal church, I'm not raised Pentecostal. So God put me under this mentorship of this guy, Robert Argue. Now, he had his bona fides, his PAOC, Pentecostal bona fides, or bona fides, depending mm-hmm. on how you pronounce it. So his uncle, A.H. Argue, yeah. was the first man filled with the Holy Spirit in Western Canada.
Wow.
And founded what's now Calvary Temple in Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is Bob Argue, and who, deep roots in Pentecost. And he was the general executive of the PAOC for many years. He was the head of all home missions and Bible colleges in Canada. And he retired and took on this church in inner city Toronto. And so I went and worked as his associate. There's a church of 400 people. It's just him and me. And so right away, he gave me this opportunity. Like after I'd been there a year, he would take the whole summers and go off to his, he had an island up in Parry Sound area. And because he had earned it, he's 69.
How do you earn an island?
he was 69.
I'm not doing something right in my life.
He had earned the vacation.
Sure, okay, there you go. Yeah,
he bought the island way back when. And so he would go there and he'd leave me the whole church. So I've been a Christian 5 years.
Yeah,
I'm in charge of the whole church. I'm the youth pastor, the associate pastor, the lead pastor for 2 months, preaching on the Sundays. All of it was mine. Mm-hmm. And you had to learn fast, right? But so he just poured this opportunity into me. But his mentorship was not intentional. He didn't think in those terms. He was more old school. It was all about time and talking. Mm-hmm. I would just spend, because it was just him and I. And there was not a lot of expectations from the people on us. You have a good midweek Bible study, have a youth group and a good services on Sunday, and you're good to go, you know? And so we had a lot of time so I would spend time in his home. We would have all our meals together. You know, on the days we had work together, we had this rhythm where we would go to this, get a sandwich together, walk and talk everywhere. So it was all the conferences. I'd drive with him and drive back and everything. And I just spent a whole lot of time with him. So I often think of Jesus when he was with the disciples mm-hmm. and they're walking everywhere and mm-hmm. talking. That was the mentorship.
That's right.
And most of my stories of Bob Argue is him and I walking and talking or driving and talking and just random events that happened.
I think we'll stop it right there, and we will pick it up again next month where we get to talk a little bit more about calling, a little bit more about some of the ups and downs of leadership and the pastoral journey, and you'll get to hear that next month when you join us again on the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast. So a big thank you to Grant McAllister, our audio technician, who makes this sound so great every month. Thank you for joining us this month, and we hope to see you again next month. And hey, if you really enjoy this podcast, rate and review it on your podcast app. That really does help people find the content. We'll see you again next month on the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast.